views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. If you're listening live, you might be listening on 1150 AM KKNW here in the sunny Seattle area. You might be listening on Transformation Talk Radio over the internet anywhere around the world, or you might be listening after the fact on one of the 50 syndicated stations and podcasts or on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, we're so grateful to have you here, and you're going to be grateful you're joining us because we're going to be talking about something that is so important to our world, and that has to do with the emotional health of children. But before we get into that and introduce our guest, I'd like to say hello to Mr. Benny Mathers, who does his magic with all that technology over there across the counter. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning, good day, depending on where you are listening to us from, and happy officially from me, happy holidays. Oh. Only because I'm a December right after, it's got to be right after Thanksgiving, the beginning of the month, then we can just jam it out.
Well, I have to admit, Benny, happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
And I have to admit that my Christmas lights have been up since mid-November. Let's see.
Although, wait, what color are they, though?
White.
See, I can let you get a pass on that one because they're not super festive.
Well, they're
pretty still
festive.
Think white can get away with it, more of a spiritual thing all over.
Yeah, and, you know, I live in an area where there aren't any streetlights.
So good point. Safety. Safety first.
So mm-hmm. it really brightens things up.
Are you like the brightest one?
Well,
yeah. No. I knew it. You didn't even want to say it.
Oh, you got me there.
I bet it looks beautiful no matter what.
It does. But I also have to admit, I was listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving too. So
that's for some people, just not me. But I just want to say it. That's where I stand.
Well, it goes by so quickly.
Oh, totally. Yeah, you blink and then it's going to be Halloween again.
I know, exactly. I'm really looking forward to our show today. We are going to be talking about the emotionally healthy child. We're going to be talking to Maureen Healy. She is the author of The Emotionally Healthy Child and also Growing Happy Kids, which won the Nautilus and Reader's Favorite Book Awards back in 2014. She's a popular Psychology Today blogger and a sought-after public speaker for good reason. She runs a global mentoring program for elementary-age children. She works with parents and their children in her busy private practice, and her expertise in social and emotional learning has taken her all over the world, including working with Tibetan refugee children at the base of the Himalayas in northern India to the classrooms in Northern California. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Maureen Healy. Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You know, I think this is such an important topic. I mean, I've raised two children, and it is really, really tough. And I think that in some ways it may be tougher today. Have the children changed over the last, say, 30 years? Or is it the parenting that's changed? Because it seems like there are different kinds of stressors and the kids seem different to me.
Well, the simple answer is everything has changed. You know,
right.
I mean, the 30 years ago, parents would focus on, you know, the roof over your head and the food on the table and you're a good parent. And that's true.
Uh-huh.
But today we're more focused on the inner life of children. And of course, the landscape of child's inner life is more complex these days with school shootings and natural disasters and, you know, lots of different things that, at least when I was younger, I didn't have on my mind.
Right. I remember when I was a little kid, I think it was first grade in Texas, having a drill where we had to climb under our desks, in case of nuclear attack. I mean, it was just this kind of crazy thing. But that didn't last very long, at least not at my age. But I cannot imagine what kids are going through with the school shootings. I mean, that is so incredibly intense, and it is a real threat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so I know your last book was entitled Growing Happy Kids. And
actually, my last book was The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, about the sensitive and strong-willed children. And the book before that was Growing Happy Kids.
Okay, so my notes are wrong, but yeah, I'm fascinated by that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Indigo Kids and why there are more sensitives now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we're in it, it's really hard to see what's happening. Mm-hmm. But they really represent sort of an evolution of our species of just becoming more emotionally sensitive. Uh-huh. And it sort of pairs with, I mean, I'm sure listeners can agree, they have children who say, I will not do that. That's not fair. A lot of kids are very strong-willed and stubborn, mm-hmm. which many emotionally sensitive children are. So it's this sort of dynamic. And that's why I wrote that last book, because I kept seeing kids in my office who would, quote unquote, get in trouble because they said, I will not go to school. I will not take that math test.
Uh-huh. So if the children are sensitive and their behavior is like unacceptable to parents because it's a little bit more extreme and more defiant, how do you deal with that?
Well, yes. So that's why I wrote the book, The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, because, you know, you need to partner with them. If you're not going to, you know, you still need to be their parent, but at times you need to give them choices and you have to help them make smarter choices.
Right.
Where the old authoritarian approach, which is like, do this or my way or the highway, you have to do this, you know, that just doesn't work. That's sort of an immediate meltdown.
Yeah.
So learning how to work with these children and also, of course, parent them, meaning there are things that are negotiable and things that aren't negotiable.
Right.
But a lot of things are pretty negotiable.
Yeah. And I remember both of my kids, I would say, were sensitives, but my youngest was the defiant one. And I just decided, well, you know, I'm not going to be an authoritarian, except when I have to be, right? You know, there are some extreme cases, and give him as much freedom as possible. And he's thrived on that freedom. But the authoritarian approach did not work.
Right. Yeah. It didn't work for me either.
So you say in your book that you were, a slightly difficult child. What way?
I wouldn't say difficult. I would say energetic.
Energetic,
and
okay.
And I would say strong-willed, like what we're talking about. Like I had a sense even early on what I liked and what I didn't like.
Right.
And parents and teachers, they don't necessarily like that.
Right.
That doesn't always work with their paradigm of what a child should be. Uh-huh. So that's where the challenge is.
Yeah, yeah. And so why did you write this third book, The Emotionally Healthy Child?
Well, I mean, I've had the luxury of being able to live in all different countries and study with extraordinary people. And I just had His Holiness the Dalai Lama write the preface for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had the ability to learn how emotions work and how to constructively express them.
Mm-hmm.
So in my work with kids all around the world, but particularly parents and children and teachers in the U.S., consistently, they show up in my office or on Zoom or working with them, and they don't know how emotions work or how to express them constructively. So that was something I thought, if I can do this and help parents and teachers and kids, well, then that's a good thing.
Right. So what are emotions?
Well, we could talk about that for lifetimes. But I would say, you know, it's really energy and motion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's certainly... from my perspective, you know, whether you're conscious or not conscious, your thoughts come first and then your feelings or your emotions. So if a child had a hula hoop and they were like learning and they said, oh my God, I think so much. Well, that feels not so good. Mm-hmm. But if they did the same hula hoop and they were learning and saying, wow, I'm getting better and better. Well, that feels better. So, learning how to direct our thoughts and is sort of, you know, the big picture, but certainly helping children identify their feelings when they're small versus big can help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did that with my kids. You know, it sounds like you're feeling such and such, you know. Try to validate their feelings, get them to become aware of them. And with one of my kids, he seemed to really appreciate that. With my youngest, who was the more defiant one, he didn't want to be told, you know, he just wanted to express them. So... What's your approach for helping kids deal with their emotions more effectively?
Well, I think, if you were saying, like, you know, what is an emotionally healthy child? The starting point is learning how to identify their emotions. And then the next point would be how to constructively express them. So most kids don't, you know, that we start off reactive. You know, you get angry, you push a kid on the playground.
Yeah.
You know, but we want to sort of create a pause between that so that they can make a smarter choice.
Mm-hmm.
But catching those emotions when they're small, when they're annoyance or frustration or even over excited or enthusiasm, so you don't hit a vase in the kitchen and knock it over.
Right.
So learning how to spot those feelings when they're small in your body. Oftentimes, if we're talking, you know, younger children, say 4, 5, 6, you know, you say, well, where do you feel your anger? And every kid will have a different response.
Sure.
They'll say, oh, I feel it in my palm, you know, I start making fists or my heart beats faster. But helping them create self-awareness and identify their emotions is the first step. Mm-hmm. Unlike your two children, it doesn't matter to me if you talk about the emotions or you don't talk about them or you want to have a conversation. As long as you learn how to express them constructively, it's the goal.
Right. Okay. So, you know, if a child has like really big emotion, is there a problem with them having it get to that point if they're not, you know, say, doing something inappropriate based on that emotion?
Well, I think it's important for us as adults to recognize that there is no good and no bad emotions. Our world, we want to label everything, really, that's good and that's bad.
Uh-huh.
But it's what we do with the emotions. So, you know, there are moments in our lives where we're supposed to be sad. We're supposed to be not feeling good and we're supposed to be angry. Mm-hmm. But what we do with it is what matters.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about 3 simple steps to sort of shift things.
Right.
What are those 3 steps?
Sure. And they may be simple conceptually, but as we all know, practice is a whole different story.
Uh-huh.
But if we can learn how to stop or catch ourselves or learn how to help our children stop and catch themselves, that's one. And then the second is calm. You know, most good decisions aren't made when we're not calm. So learning how to calm.
Right.
And then the third one is make a smarter choice. So from my perspective, a smarter choice is a good choice that's good for you and good for someone else. So if a child was angry in the classroom and he threw his notebook across the room, it's good for him because he got some anger relief, but it's certainly not good for the kid that hits him in the head.
So
it's helping those kids make choices that are good for them and good for others.
Yeah.
So this that's the key. And we all know this is, you know, as adults, this is things we need to learn, too. It's sort of a lifelong lesson, emotional health. It's not like we check the box. It's something we're always learning.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more with Maureen Healy.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Maureen, it is very challenging to parent, especially when we as parents can get triggered by our kids' emotions. So I know you've got lots of wisdom about how to help kids with their emotions, but do you have any advice for parents in the situations where the kids' emotions are getting big, or perhaps they're starting to behave inappropriately? How do we deal with our emotions first?
That's a good question. I mean, the biggest feedback I got from the book, The Emotionally Healthy Child, or the most consistent from adults, is forget kids, this is what I need, which is true. Because, you know, when we're calmer, that it helps a child begin to calm.
Right.
But, you know, I think we always need to remember that, you know, sometimes that saying that says, you know, the child that's the hardest to love is the one who needs the most, because in that moment that they're having their emotional imbalance, I would call it, because emotional health is the skill of balance.
Yeah.
So whether they're angry or sad or whatever's happening, you know, they're just off balance. They just haven't learned the skills yet to bring them back to balance.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we're older and wiser, and that we can see in this moment that there's nothing more important than being this child's mom or dad or teacher, and then helping them come back to balance. And we've all had those moments where you're emotionally hijacked, where your right brain is flooded with chemicals and your left brain literally is not online. There's no logic to be found.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
You have to remember in that moment that the moment will pass.
Yeah.
You know, this is just a moment.
Yeah. And I sort of surprised myself with my, like, comparing myself with the terrible twos or terrific twos, however you want to call it, with my first child versus my second child. With my first child, it's like, what did I do wrong to have my child behave this way? You know, I took it personally. And my second child, it's like, oh, he's establishing independence and he's needing to process things. So it was kind of like, in the first case, I took it somewhat personally. In the second case, I learned to detach and not take it personally. And when I didn't take it personally, I was much more effective at helping, you know, him process what he needed to process.
Right. That, and also that, you know, in at least in Western culture, we often get so caught up with looking perfect or not being being embarrassed.
Right.
But, you know, kids are kids. They're supposed to be kids. That's the whole goal.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not supposed to be reformed adults yet. They're kids. That's
right.
The way it works.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so can you give us some examples of kids you've worked with and offered this three-step process to the parents and the kids and watched their behavior shift?
Sure. I mean, one simple example, and it's not simple, but, you know, I had a child that I work with and she just got frustrated and angry.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she landed in my office because she threw a chair across her third grade classroom. So not so good.
No.
But, you know, when I brought her into my office, we talked about it. And there was more that when I found out made sense. For example, the classroom was talking about fathers that day. Her father's actually in prison. You know, there's a lot of triggers going on.
Yeah.
So really getting underneath what the issue was and coaching her about emotions. But, you know, I think a pivotal tool that I have in the book that's really helpful is the Smart Choices Checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to her about, like, okay, when you get angry or frustrated or annoyed, what are three smart choices, things that are good for you and good for others that you could do in the classroom? So we identified, you know, I could take a walk, I could talk to the teacher, I could go to the bathroom, splash water on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that same thing at home. You know, what can I do? I can jump on the trampoline, I can sit under the tree, you know, I can pet the dog. So, and then you hang that up, the smart choices checklist. And if you see your child having a rather big emotion, say, you know, go to the smart choices checklist, you know, pick something, or go to the trampoline and I'll set a timer and come back in 10 minutes. And invariably, in 10 minutes, you feel better. So helping children really identify that in that moment, they don't have to be running on automatic. They can stop and make a different choice.
Yeah. And one of the things that feels really important in this example is her big emotions and inappropriate behavior based on those emotions, but ultimately served as an opportunity for her to explore some of her feelings about her father being an absent father in prison. And
right.
That seems important.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the important piece is that any emotion that we have can be used. It's
yes.
not wasted.
Uh-huh.
We can say, well, what can we learn from this? I mean, right. if you learn from something, it's never a failure, you know?
Right.
So like, what can we learn? How can we grow from this experience? We all have enough mud in our lives to plant positive seeds and grow flowers. But do we do it? It's up to us, right?
Yeah. So you talk about happiness, and you say that happiness is not the most important thing. What is more important than happiness?
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Happiness is pretty darn important. But the idea of wholeness, the idea of being able to experience all of your feelings mm-hmm. and then learn how to constructively express them. So the child who is having a crummy day doesn't come home and put a smile on his face and repress his feelings and say, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, hey, today didn't work out that well. I may want to talk about it. I may not want to talk about it. I may want to shoot some hoops in the backyard, and that's fine.
Uh-huh.
But they're honest. They're authentic. They're not repressing their feelings. They're not, you know, sort of zoning out on digital devices. They're not eating candy just mm-hmm. to numb themselves. They're not, you know, teasing their siblings just to, you know, get it out.
Sure.
I mean, not that those things are meaning you have an unhealthy child. It just means those aren't characteristics of emotional health. And mm-hmm. you need to learn how to feel whatever feelings. And that means as us as parents and adults and teachers that we don't hide when we're having a crummy day.
Right.
That, you know, we don't put our kids only in a bubble and only show them smiley faces. We say, you know what, I had a flat tire today and it was a bummer. You know what, but we got through it together. I called AAA. Next thing I know, it was fixed. The kids see us moving through challenges and that we're not devastated by them, unless they're obviously appropriate to be really
sure
having those emotions. But, you know, they see us working through things and getting through it together, I think, is important.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because I think that there are plenty of parents who try to shield their kids from their own processes and their own what they call negative emotions. And that does a disservice to the kids, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously age-appropriate ways.
Sure.
We don't want to bring the kid in and say, hey, we're going to have a mortgage issue. But
yeah.
we want them to know that we have all the feelings that we have. We have all of them. And that, you know, we learn how to identify them and release them constructively. I mean, the science shows that children as young as 2 and 3 have shame, have embarrassment, have jealousy. I mean, they have such deep feelings that they need to really learn, you know, what are these feelings and they're okay to have. And let's just learn how to let them out and release them constructively, whether it's taking deep breaths, whether it's coloring. And, you know, as you advance in age, you know, you all different tools.
Right.
But learning how to do that and have a mom or a dad or a family member or a community member that has somewhat of a good role model, meaning I go to yoga or I walk with my friends or I
uh-huh.
connect. There are ways that really help.
Right. Right. And you were mentioning before about the distraction with technology. And
right.
I think that a lot of kids and a lot of parents are going down that road. What are the issues with that keeps a child from being emotionally healthy if they use that as their distraction?
Well, I mean, listen, if you're sick with the flu, go watch a movie. I think that's fine.
Uh-huh.
But you don't want to numb yourself and not feel a feeling and suppress it all the time. You want to be able to have healthy emotions. And my issue with technology is that we want to just, you know, the way you want a child to make healthy choices in real life, you want them to make them online
mm-hmm.
and you want to mentor them. And I think that we need to continue to show real life interactions. So like if we're at the dinner table, have a basket outside the dinner table and say, all right, everyone, put your phone in the basket. Let's have 20 minutes for dinner.
Right.
Unless you're a brain surgeon or you're delivering babies, you might
sure.
need your phone.
Right.
But besides that, let's do it. And then just showing them there's times to turn it off or turn it on. Like, you know, they have Wi-Fi control devices. So in our house, we set rules. We set agreements, you know, at 9 p.m., the Wi-Fi goes out, you know,
uh-huh.
it goes out for everyone.
uh-huh.
So, I mean, I think it's just modeling and connecting with children and not, not like we talked about earlier, authoritarian. It's not always like this way or the highway. It might be like, hey, what do you think is fair? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, sometimes you have to make decisions for them, like you're too young for Fortnite or, you know, teaching them, hey, you know, when you're online, you have an alias. You don't use your real name. You want to keep kids safe. So it's a big deal. And I think, you know, technology is not going away. Mm-hmm. I mean, I use it every single day to time my meditation on an app. So there's ways to use it that's really helpful. We just want to help our kids do that.
Right, right. And it sounds like if we are using technology or allowing our kids to use technology in order to avoid feelings, that too is an issue.
Well, I would say, like, if a kid is really constant, like, the thing is it's a biological issue, technology. So when you get a like on Instagram or Facebook or your friend texts you, you get that feel-good chemicals in your brain.
Right.
So if you're constantly on it and you can't put it down without a screaming match, well, then we have a problem. So that child has more of an addictive personality and something going on. So that's not a healthy relationship with technology. So we want them to be able to disengage in healthy ways. So, So, being able to use technology is good, but you don't want to use it you want to use it in a healthy way. You don't want to only be on technology without, quote unquote, real life relationships either.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more about the emotionally healthy child.
Children, look at all the children we can change. What about a vision? Be a visionary for a change. We're the generation.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What about the children? Look at all the children we can change. What about a vision?
Be a visionary for a change.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio and KKNW 1150 AM in Seattle. We're talking today with the author of The Emotionally Healthy Child, Maureen Healy. Maureen, you talk about various tools and various approaches to sort of shift our kind of our habitual pattern. But habits are hard to break. I know that there are a lot of neuroscience scientists out there who talk about how difficult it is physiologically to change habits. How do we help kids break existing habits when they're not behaving in an emotionally healthy way?
You know what? I'm a believer that habits aren't as hard as we think they are to change.
Really?
I just think I mean, if you want something, you will find it. If your son or daughter wants a new video game, they will find a way to get it. So if you motivate them, they will change a habit. So I think, though, it's wanting to change the habit. It's, you know, kids want to feel good. They just don't know how.
Yeah.
So if their habitual pattern is to cry, they don't realize they have other choices. They don't have the self-awareness yet, or they haven't learned how to pay attention in that way.
Right.
So, you know, helping them in fun ways, it doesn't have to be painful. I mean, we can just do a few things every day. I think it's the regular thing, the habit, that helps us move in a positive direction. For example, the free app, Three Good Things, which you can find on iTunes, you know, it's made for children. It's made so that every night before you go to bed, you can talk about what were the three good things for today.
Uh-huh.
And that begins to create a positive habit for a child to look for the good things, because optimism and gratitude, they move you in a good direction. So that's a good thing. But also, if a child is in that habitual pattern of pushing or screaming or crying or whatever it may be, you know, helping them recognize, you know, what they're doing, and then they can change. And it may not be that the parent is the right person to coach them. Maybe uh-huh. It's a coach, a teacher, a therapist, but someone can help them in that point.
Right, right. I know that you talk about and write about the importance of mindfulness. Now, you know, many people on their spiritual paths, psycho-spiritual journeys, use mindfulness. How do you teach kids about mindfulness, and how is it helpful for them?
Well, mindfulness just means paying attention in a certain way without judgment. So without paying attention, nothing changes, right? You know, that's the whole point, is if we don't pay attention, you know, at the red light, there's someone behind us, maybe not in my town, but in most towns, that would honk and say, hey, keep it going. So you have to help children pay attention to what they're physically feeling, what's going on in their body, mm-hmm. you know, and we all have these signs, whether it's anger or sadness or frustration. So when you catch a feeling when it's small, you can send it in a constructive way versus a destructive way. So, I mean, learning how to do that is helpful, but you can do it as a parent and child. We're all learning together.
Right.
And in the book, I have a lot of strategies and tools, because we all need a starting point how to do this. And and that's why I have a activity about the volcano, and this one about the iceberg, and, you know, explaining things to children so that they land in their mind and get it is really mm-hmm. important.
Yeah. So why don't you share some of those tools that you present to kids, like the volcano?
Sure. So that one is about, you know, we all have our own individual signs for frustration, annoyance, you know, anger. And if you can catch them, for example, I work with one child. And when he got angry, he literally turned red. He would, like, get red. And he would also, his stomach, he would just feel it in his stomach.
Uh-huh.
So when he started to get hot and feel that frustration, anger, he learned how to catch himself. And then we used the Smart Choices Checklist so he could make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really helping children create that awareness and have dialogue around, you know, where do you feel annoyance or frustration? And then if it keeps building, it does get to anger. So learning sort of the emotional scale, or how emotions work, which I have in the book, you know, what are the ideas that children need to know,
mm-hmm.
and then what they need to do. So one of the ones that they need to know, when I talk with kids, I say, you know, how big was that anger?
Uh-huh.
And they go, oh, it's pretty big. I go, was it bigger than you? They go, oh, much bigger than me. So they don't realize they're actually bigger than their anger. So mm-hmm. when they learn their role in relation to their emotions, they can actually start to control or master or handle them better.
Mm-hmm.
So So there's lots of ideas that when children get, they themselves can have their own aha. And that's really what we want to lead them to, is that they got this. They're actually in charge and they have no idea. Mm-hmm. So we want to give them those ideas and tools.
So for the parents out there with young children, it's like, how young can you start with some of these techniques?
Well, of course, you want a role model from the get-go, because mm-hmm. they'll pick up on your own sanity or insanity in the moment. We all know that.
Sure.
But from the age 4 and up, brain development shows that reason and logic can come online. Of course, there's some children around 3 who can get it. But uh-huh. in general, 4 and up is when children really start being reasonable. And we know that. Hanging out with toddlers, you know, you're not going to sit down and reason with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So with your approach, it's basically taking, I don't know, this is sort of a simplification, but I think you talk about this too, the right brain and then getting the left brain online to get engaged with the basically the behavior and the reaction to what's going on in the right brain, so to speak.
Yeah, the right brain in general is like emotions and left brain is logic, right?
Uh-huh, right.
And reason. And what we want to do is help children use both sides of their brain to make a good decision. Uh-huh. So we all know the person who's using the right brain is very impulsive. The right person who's using the left brain is very logical, like Sheldon Cooper from the Big Bang Theory.
But you need
to use both sides of the brain to make life work. So helping them early on do that is important.
That makes sense. Okay, so how late is too late to start with this process?
When you're dead, but besides that, nothing. So really, I mean, our brain is always evolving. So, uh-huh. I mean, that is a really good question, because I get emails from parents. Is it too late? Have uh-huh. I screwed everything up? And
right.
it's like, no, it's never too late. We can always change and grow. But your brain isn't fully developed till about 26.
Uh-huh.
And that's when judgment, your prefrontal cortex, comes online. So, but our brain is dynamic, so it can always change.
So, the age 26, is that the same for females and males, or is there a difference there?
That's a good question. I mean, the thing is, nowadays, so many people have male characteristics, and so many people have female characteristics, that the whole idea of gender has really been so fluid.
Uh-huh.
So the 26 is in general. So, but that would be, I don't know the answer to what studies have been done, if females develop earlier or men develop earlier uh-huh. on judgment. I mean, we can all have our guesses there.
Right.
But you know, that's in general.
Okay. So let's say you're dealing with a 16-year-old boy who gets angry. And we know that once the testosterone has kicked in fully, physiologically, there's a lot more anger that can come up. How do you deal with something like that as a parent when it gets to be big and you know, the son is big?
You know, I think it's a matter of making sure he's got constructive outlets. I mean, you know, whether it's basketball, whether it's putting in a punching bag in the basement and saying, I know you're upset, I know you're angry, go hit the punching bag.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not about trying to control it. It's about how to release it constructively.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, a big kid with big emotions, there's nothing wrong with the emotions. Like
sure.
we said earlier, it's what you do with them.
Right.
So, and when he's in the midst of the anger, it's not at any point the time to start talking logic to him. That's just not going to work.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
So, but afterwards, sometimes, whether it's a teenager or someone younger, I would say, hey, you know, when you hit the wall and made a hole in the wall, I said, could you have done that differently? I would uh-huh. give him or her an opportunity to say, like, you know, maybe I won't do that in the future. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't be angry either, because it's like, oh, you have the flood of emotions. And as long as it's something fixable or solvable, then,
uh-huh.
you know, we get up and try again the next day.
Right. That's interesting. Go ahead, Benny.
I just want to jump in real fast. So Tim Meadows, who's an actor for Saturday Night Live, he did Ladies Man, and he was he's no longer on the show, but he had a similar question. Actually, I just saw it earlier this week on Stephen Colbert's show.
Uh-huh.
So Tim Meadows is about like 5'8", 5'7", standard for like an actor, I guess. But his son is like 6'2",
uh-huh.
and I believe is 16 or 17 as well. And it's hard for him now to engage on that. And you're absolutely right. Engage on that dialogue because of the size factor.
Yes.
But it's also on how you approach the situation appropriately. And yeah, if you need some more time to handle it, go do your thing and come back to me. At least have that avenue, which right. was one thing they discussed. And then he also kind of, since he's a comedian too, he kind of made joke on like, if I was going to yell at him, I have to be on the other side of the room so at least I can get like a size reference. So like,
right?
on, you know, the distance and like, okay, now I can see him over there yeah. at my size over here.
Yeah. Well, so. As right. a 5 foot two mom, it's, right. you know, it can exactly. be a little intimidating to mm-hmm. to see that, yeah. that, to feel that energy and yeah. and have that size differential. Yeah.
Let me stand up on this couch real fast. For
right, right. But we all know that true power comes from within.
Yeah,
right,
so
of course.
So that's just sort of an illusion. You know what I mean? But it's a very persistent one, like Einstein would say. But it is an illusion. You know?
Right, right. Although sometimes it might make sense to sort of get out of the way of the angry teenage boy just so that they have the space.
I would send them in a healthy direction and say, you know what, when you've cooled down, let's chat about it. But yeah. in that moment, right. I would not, in my size either, I'm 5'4", I would not be like, hey, let's hang out and chat about it. No.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Maureen Healy. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with Cornelia Stephanie VIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back. We're talking with Maureen Healy. And Maureen, before we go any further, I want to make sure that our listeners get a chance to figure out how they can connect with you once this show is over. What's your website?
Sure. GrowingHappyKids.com.
Okay. That's GrowingHappyKids.com. And Maureen, what is it that you offer?
Sure. I still work with parents and children worldwide. Uh-huh. So I help, you know, whether it's parent coaching or mentoring with children. I do have a specialty with highly sensitive children, helping them.
Uh-huh.
And I do a lot of speaking at schools and a lot of different events.
Yeah. So the highly sensitive kids seems like, first of all, I think there are a lot of adults coming out of the closet right now saying that they are sensitives or empaths. How are the challenges different for sensitive kids growing up?
Well, everyone's sensitive to a degree, but highly sensitive, I would call them like emotionally sensitive. So those types of kids, you know, tend to be more right-brained or more creative. They certainly can be left-brained, but they have big emotions and they oftentimes are very reactive, which is what, you know, the emotionally healthy child helps with them too. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that, you know, sometimes sensitive kids, they don't want to be in large groups or they hate loud noises or they don't want to go to birthday parties. There's a whole different, where they don't like certain clothes, everything on their body must be soft. They don't want to wear socks. You know, there's all sorts of different sensory and emotionally sensitive issues. So helping them is really important because you want that your child to be both strong and soft. You want them to be both emotional and logical. You want them to be both have good instincts and good intellect. So, you know, you need both.
So is it more difficult to train the highly sensitive child to become emotionally healthy and more balanced, or is it pretty much the same?
I would say, you know, the difficulty isn't, you know, everyone's different. So, but helping a child who's very emotional, you just want to be able to help that child also make logical choices. So, yeah, it's great to make a lot of money, but you need to use your checkbook. Or in classrooms, it's wonderful to be compassionate, but not when it doesn't serve you and you're hurting yourself. So you want them to be both a good person and also smart about their life. So we all eventually want to raise our kids to be self-reliant and bring their unique gifts to the world in ways that work for them. So, you know, if you only raise a child to be sensitive and put them in a bubble and allow them to be who they are, they get to work at one point and they say, oh, not everyone else wants me to do what I want to do. They want me to learn how to use a spreadsheet. You know what I mean?
Right.
You want them to have both skill sets.
Yeah. And it also seems important with highly sensitive people in general, as well as empaths, that sometimes you have to have strategies to kind of shield yourselves from like too much activity. And like even something as simple as parenting is only getting the soft clothes, because otherwise your child's going to be squirming all day, you know.
I mean, I don't have a problem with getting kids only soft clothes, but I think that they need to be able to use their words and speak up for themselves. So it's a matter of like it being able to help them be strong and soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
we
all know this world is not so sensitive all the time. So you need to navigate that. And it sort of is a similar discussion to like introvert and extrovert, right?
Uh-huh,
so where do you get your energy and how do you help them?
Uh-huh.
That's important.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that our kids are facing these days, and it's so incredibly tragic, horrific, and it doesn't just affect the older kids, but it younger kids as well, and that is the school shootings. How do you help kids navigate the emotions that, like, underlying fear that exists, and sort of get through their day and learn what they need to learn and be happy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we talked about earlier about paying attention in a certain way without judgment or the mindfulness is important, because in the present moment, everything is well. But if we're afraid, it's about something that just happened, or we're afraid of something that's going to happen.
Right.
So I think tools to get a child back to the present moment are important.
Mm-hmm.
I think doing them as a family is important.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, deep breaths. It can be a mindfulness walk. It could be coloring mandalas. It doesn't have to be one particular way. It could be even washing your car. You can have your kids wash your car mindfully.
Uh-huh.
But I think the important point is to come back to the present moment. And you also, I mean, it's a core piece of being alive. You want to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So helping your children feel safe, you know, whether that means you have a discussion about if they come to you and say, hey, I'm worried or concerned, or they don't say anything.
Right.
You might just say, I just want you to know that I'm on the job here. I'm keeping you safe. I'm working with your school and your teachers, and I feel good about that. I mean, you don't want to lie to them, but you just want them to know that you're doing everything you can.
Right.
And of course you want to pick a school if you can that feels very secure.
Yeah.
I mean, since I work with kids all around the world, I mean, it's very obvious that America has a gun problem.
Yes.
You know, I had a child in the UK, 8 years old, come to me and say, hey, Maureen, what's the deal with America and guns? You know, so mm-hmm. it's not like we're just talking about it in the U.S. Everyone in the world is talking about the problem we have.
Absolutely.
So we really do need to make some common sense gun laws happen.
Yeah. And it is a real threat. And my son, during his senior year of high school, probably with 2 weeks left, there was a threat from one of his classmates. And the boy basically said on social media, "I don't fit in. Maybe I should kill myself, or maybe I should kill everybody at school." And it's the sort of thing where this kind of stuff happens in these so-called safe little towns. And it, you know, nothing came of it. I mean, you know, the police got involved and everything was okay. But it, you know, it's the sort of thing where there exists this threat, you know, and it's a hard thing for kids to deal with.
Yeah. And I mean, from my perspective, I mean, that's why I do the work that I do, because you want children to grow up emotionally healthy. So you want them. And oftentimes, you know, with the change in society and different things, it's not always coming from the home. So we want the classrooms to be where, you know, a lot of kids find out, what are emotions? How do I release them constructively?
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to have a trauma, whether it's bullying or something else, and kids go down the wrong path.
Right.
So,
and that's such an important point.
That's why I'm committed to this.
Yeah. So it's not just about the parenting. And so do you feel like schools have kind of dropped the ball in terms of teaching children how to be emotionally healthy?
Well, you know, that's an it depends answer, because there, and I do a lot of classroom visits and I do some teaching in the classroom as well.
Uh-huh.
So there are schools that are fantastic that I want to be a first grader again. I'm like, this is amazing. And then there are schools where I'm like, oh my God, how do I get out of here? So it's not consistent throughout our country, and it will be consistent within the next 5 to 10 years. There'll be emotional health in every classroom because we need it.
Yes.
But right now it's not consistent. So there are some schools that unfortunately are failing our children, because their bullying is still the number one thing I see in my office. And that's, you know, not acceptable.
Right. Right. And that must be a terrible thing to teach a kid to deal with, because they're busy being a victim. How do you help them out of that in a minute or less here?
Right. Well, I mean, if you bully someone, it means that you were bullied and you're passing it along.
Uh-huh.
So a child that was bullied has to sort of gain the awareness that, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. They didn't do anything wrong. They're perfect, whole, and complete as they are. And that child has other problems that they're not a reflection of that child. So there needs to be healing. And also, we can't shun the bullies. We got to help everyone. We can't just help the bullied. We need to help the bullies. They've got an issue as well.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a difficult time. I'm grateful that I grew up when I did, because I think it's a difficult time for kids to be growing up, including what they see going on and, you know, beyond their own school and community. It's a tough time in the world, I think.
I do, but I also think it's always been a little tough, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
always, whether it was 9/11 or before that, like you said earlier, there was like school drills. So there's always stuff happening.
Right.
But it's what we do with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And on that note, I want to mention again, Maureen Healy's latest book is The Emotionally Healthy Child. And her last name is spelled H-E-A-L-Y. GrowingHappyKids.com. Maureen, I really appreciate you joining us here today. Thank you for bringing us this information and for doing what you do.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us here today. If you want to share this, go to ChristineEpchurch.com. By Monday, you'll be able to share this show. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.